Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So welcome back to the Rick Shields podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with producer Guy. We've got another action-packed episode coming your way. I feel like I say that every single episode, but I don't think I'll lie.
You do tell lies,
okay?
But this isn't a lie. You are no. Everyone says to me, "Oh, I've met Rick in real life. He's dead sound, but he tells lies."
Am I that guy you were talking about on the podcast a couple of episodes ago when you were talking about that?
What was he called, Mr. Mulligan? Mulligan man it was.
But we were talking about somebody we know as well from a professional level that is a professional liar. How are you, Guy?
I'm good. As you said, I've got my notes section on my phone and yours, because I just sent it. It's absolutely full to the brim of pure content for today's episode. We've been rating it recently beforehand. You know what, today, let's not rate it. Let the public decide. If it's good, they'll tell us. If it's not, they won't listen again.
Maybe we should do that all the time. Maybe self-rating our own podcast might not be the thing that people should do. Either way, this is episode number 45, is it?
This is number 45 of the UK's number 2 golf podcast.
Number 2.
Do you know what number 1 is?
Well, I'd like to think it's the podcast that we are such enormous fans of.
Your friend of mine, the Open Podcast.
Yes, well done everybody listening to the Rick Shields podcast. You got the Open Podcast to number 1 for 1 week only, we hope.
Ideally, normal service should resume from this week onwards. We are going to touch on the Open Podcast again later on the show, because there was another absolute banger. And I think the word banger is actually suitable. It was a banger of an episode. And fortunately for you guys listening, after you listen to this one today, there's going to be another one out, so it'll be 3 of 10. We are going to touch on that a bit later on, but what I want to touch on first, Rick, was, you know how you've often given the advice of to play a bit of golf, don't overthink it, don't be all statty, don't be into the course 2 hours before, don't be hitting loads of balls, just rock up last minute and play.
That's very much my ethos, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've had an email today from Jake McGill, and it says, hi, don't fancy listener of the week, but you two can read this email, if you please. Just wanted to say that I followed Rick's advice by getting drunk the night before and turned up to the golf course after a few drinks with little time to spare. Previously hit around 105. I had 2 warm-up drives with new Cobra Extreme. Got onto the tee, shanked both my shots, but then went on to shoot 90, my best ever score.
There you go.
I didn't swing hard since I was struggling and couldn't be arsed.
I love that. There's something in drunk golf. I'm a big fan of playing, not drunk at the time, but hungover golf. I'm a big fan of it. I think when you go to the golf course with no preconceptions, you're not particularly feeling great, you might feel a bit delicate, like what was he called, Jake?
Yes.
Like Jake saying, he swung a little bit more within himself. And listen, he's not the only person that's played well with a hangover. And I think there's lots and lots out there. And I think it could be the start of a new coaching series that I bring out.
This could be that'll be a really good coaching video.
In fact, I might even make a golf in school.
Nice.
Like Friday night, everyone comes to mine, or we go to the pub when you're allowed to. Everyone gets absolutely blottoed. We play darts. We test some golf equipment. Come around to the garage. It's fine. Everyone is absolutely hanging. They get a taxi home. And then next day, they've got to wake up, hopefully responsibly get to the golf course, obviously. And ideally running late. You know, if your tee time's 9:30, I want you there at 25 past nine and no earlier, with maybe one to two golf balls in your bag. You've got to borrow a tee on the tee peg from your
partner. No glove for the first hole because you can't find it.
No glove, no pitch mark in your pocket, pitchfork in your pocket. You can't even find a tee, so you have to hit it off the deck off the first
hole. You know what else I'd love? A missing club that you had out in the house, practicing your grip with. Oh, I'm not going to be 7 9 because I had it in the house yesterday trying to practice my grip.
Love it. And you'll go out, and this is gospel honest truth, you'll have the best round you've ever played in your life. Don't expect the first hole to be good.
No.
But that's okay. We call that the hungover mulligan.
Yes.
Like you could just write, it doesn't matter if it's a double or triple, it doesn't matter. It goes down on your scorecard, actually. But after that, 17 holes, you'll play the best golf of your life.
And if you don't, feel free to send an email to podcast@rickshields.com and he will refund you for your entire night out the night before that you've wasted. So
if it doesn't work the first time, we go again.
Yes.
It takes at least 10 times.
Speaking, by the way, of numbers and emails, I made a bit of an error last week.
I think you made a big error.
So at the end of last week,
you underestimated our audience.
Well, I thought our audience listened to like half the podcast, and certainly the last 5 minutes is always a drag in it. So I thought people would just turn off and thought I've had enough of that garbage. So I rather foolishly said that if you've listened to the end of the episode, send us an email and say to listen to the end, and we'll pick somebody to win like a dozen balls or something. Nothing of mass value, just a little treat. We had over 1,000 emails. And the problem with that was, obviously then, any kind of other emails that we've got for the show have just been absolutely lost in a million, and they're just all, pick me.
God.
So I looked through and just literally kind of span it down, like with my finger on my thumb on the phone, like refreshed it, and just stopped on one. And I stopped on a guy called Craig Lucas, who I haven't emailed just yet, but I'm going to email him back and give him some balls. Don't know what yet. We'll find something. He also said, though, in his email, he put, please pick me. Listen to the very end of every podcast. It's usually where that last golden nugget comes. Why would anyone turn off eagerly? Idiots, in bracket. Please pick me from golf balls. After a terrible round, the rain and wind today, I lost 5 Pro V1s. Good job the wife thinks they're cheap. So,
wow.
anybody that's listening now, please don't email in saying pick me, because that is over and done with.
People listen to emails late as well, don't they? So they'll be listening to emails. It's a podcast, sorry.
Yeah.
They'll be listening in weeks come time, and you'll be still getting emails for weeks. I hope you did say that it would just be one winner, right?
Oh, yeah, just one. Just one winner. And when we say a dozen balls, we don't know what it's going to be.
There's loads up there.
Yeah.
Bought a box. We went to American Golf one day and we were struggling for a video ideas. Ended up buying a box of Boom golf balls and Smash golf balls.
Do you want to know what the word? So Rick's got a shelf here full of golf balls. You've got your Pro V's, your TP5s, your standard like things like that. The worst box that you could send would be those refurbished Pro V ones, wouldn't they?
Half them cut in half as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll send you a box. I'm sure we can find something. Talking about looking at the shelf, I felt like I've spent all morning, I've delayed recording the podcast here on Monday because of two things. One, or three things.
Okay.
One, I stayed up really late last night watching the golf, believe it or not, which I want to talk about. Two, the kids are off school.
Yeah.
So that's a nightmare at the moment because that means I've got to be more time at home and spending time with the kids and everything else. And number three, I have worked the hardest I've ever worked in the last 7 days to make this home simulator today presentable for your presence. Mm-hmm. I feel like a kid. Do you remember when you were a kid and you had a mate coming around to your house?
The tea.
And you tidy your bedroom like relentlessly so it look amazing. You have all your best gadgets out and everything. That's what I've tried to do today to some degree. I've not fully finished it, but how do you think I did?
Cleanliness. I'd go 9 out of 10.
I even put the heater on for you.
Yeah, presentation's really good. There's a few things in that I wish weren't here. For example, the weight bench, a few weights knocking about. But
getting hench.
Yeah, you are. On the bench. That's there. That's a good rhyme, wasn't it? Overall, I'm impressed. It does look good. And I'm excited to see in the next couple of weeks when this is fully done, what this little arena it's going to be like,
because
there's going to be some content filming here, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's getting close. This is the home simulator I set up at lockdown in March, and I very much did it at the spur of a moment. The PM said we're in lockdown, so I literally raced to the garage, built a home simulator as quick as I can. You might see the video on YouTube. And since that, it's kind of been many, many different things. Storage, dumping ground, kids' playground, somewhat of an office. But now we are looking to hit the winter months. And you heard from a couple of podcasts ago, I'm not at Prairie Sports Village anymore. It's like, right, I actually need to now turn this into a room that is fit for a YouTube channel with 1.3 million subscribers and a YouTube channel fast approaching a million followers.
Facebook, sorry. I think we've said this before, we need to start filming the podcasts again. So this has got the potential now. It's almost getting nice enough to be filmable, isn't it?
Yeah. I went really loud then. The only slight issue now, because we've taken a lot of stuff out of the home simulator, it's not as cluttered. The audio is just a little tiny bit echoey today, so hopefully I can adjust that in post. And I also watched the golf last night.
Go on then, talk to me.
There's two things.
Tiger Woods won.
He didn't win. Nice. He played.
He did.
Him and Mickelson played with Adam Long yesterday, and Adam Long, who I don't really know much of him, but he absolutely schooled him.
Is he
what? Long. they didn't show much of him, actually. Even though he had the best round out of three ball, they didn't show much of him. Oddly, all the attention was on JT, Justin Thomas and John Rahm. You'd imagine with the number two and three in the world, they were in the final group together. And they kind of let slip Patrick Cantlay, who came from nowhere. Who I must admit, I don't get excited from Patrick Cantlay one bit. He's quite cool. He's very Adam Scott-esque in his kind of presence and the way he styles himself with all his Hugo Boss and everything. Even his golf swing's a bit Adam Scott-esque. He's all tight-list gear up as well. He kind of snuck in from nowhere, managed to hold JT and John Rahm off. They both came joint second, one shot behind, and he took the victory. So that was one thing that I found.
Yeah.
However, I wish... it would never happen this, but I only really watched that back nine Sunday because there were three or four people in contention.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I watched it.
That's the thing. If you're watching golf when there's like a handful of people in contention, or I like it kind of my voice, but weirdly then, I like it when there's two situations. So firstly, when there's like six people in contention with like nine holes to go, or when one person is absolutely running away with it by like a ridiculous margin and it's like watching how far ahead they can go. That's what I like.
Yeah. This was actually good. I really want to play off, actually, because even though it got past midnight, I wasn't really tired with all the clocks going back and all this, but I really, really fancied a playoff, and that would have been quite an interesting one. And then, straight off the back of that, I was still on the tablet watching Sky Sports Golf, the Italian Open came on, so I watched the highlights of the final round from that. What a weird event that was. Ross McGowan ended up winning, even though he's been on tour for 11 years. I didn't really know a lot of him.
No.
Laurie Kanter just missed out on taking it to a playoff. Nicholas Coltsart was up there. Martin Keimer was up there. The Italian Open golf course, I'm not quite sure what golf course it was. It didn't look particularly amazing, if I'm honest. It looked very just like a standard golf course. There was even power lines going across some of the fairways where I think on two or three occasions, some of the players hit the power lines and you had to replay your shot again. You had to replay your shot again.
Oh, my days.
Matt Wallace hit the power line and Lee Westwood hit the power line as well. And it was just a dead weird event. But Ross McGowan, after, you know, I think been on tour for 11 years or not won for 11 years or something, really a name I don't really know of. He must have just been, you know, a journeyman tour professional, managed to take victory. I think he's in his late 40s, if not early 50s. And that was that. That was my background of golf. Well, not too much golf.
No, I didn't watch any golf. I watched loads of clips of Borat on YouTube this weekend. So I watched a new movie that's come out on Amazon Prime, and it was all right. But then I watched loads of the old clips on YouTube, and I really enjoyed that.
He is funny, isn't he?
And what else did I watch as well? I was going to mention then. Oh, yeah, speaking of podcasts, have you seen, this is really off golf, but have you seen the new Joe Rogan podcast with Kanye West?
I saw it come up on my timeline.
Kanye West just doesn't speak sense.
And then it's on for like three hours
basically straight, and not anything he says is actually like makes sense. Very peculiar.
The only memes I saw was literally people saying, I heard Joe Rogan say welcome, and that was it.
Yeah,
was it all just Kanye West?
But it wasn't even just, I'm going on about this for too long, it's clearly like the least golf-related stuff.
And it's not paid.
Yeah, and it's not paid. But he literally spoke for, like you said, 3 hours, but nothing actually made like... It's weird. You know, people speak
such
words, but
nothing
actually makes sense. Anyway, I'll tell you what I did do this weekend, and you know what I did. You've admired it. I went to the driving range, and I Hitting it all right.
A couple of interesting things.
Go on.
I noticed on your story, did you just take like 7-iron and driver?
No, 7-iron and wedge.
Wow.
Because, this is the thing, normally when it was the driving range, I take my full bag, or at least take my driver. But I wasn't really going to the driving range to practice. I was going for something to do. And I just fancied that my driving's that bad. I couldn't bother losing balls, but like hitting balls off the planet. So I thought, if I just take a sand wedge, that's in the bag then for like little lob shots, when you're just trying to get a few through balls. Then I took my 7-iron as well to try and work on this swing fault I've got. I just can't fix it. So I've got an early extension, which is basically when I come into impact, my hips go forward towards the golf ball. Is that the best way of explaining it?
Yeah. So as your downswing starts, you thrust your hips almost underneath as if you're thrusting towards the butt end of the golf club as you come down into the shot.
It's horrible. I can block it or snap hook it.
Yeah, and the problem with that, the shaft gets really upright, the face is very difficult to control. It's very much a power move.
Yeah, I'm a helpful guy.
Hence the 12 yards.
Yeah.
Very much a power move. And it's a move that a lot of kids develop when they're younger, when they're trying to get power. But what happens then in early extension, if you've, and you might have experienced this, as you've come out of being a kid and starting to obviously become a grown-up and maybe not taking your golf as seriously in that time frame potentially, it's like a very junior trait that gets brought up into your adult golf swing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true with you.
It might be.
It's something I saw a lot of when I was coaching a lot of Trafford, where, you know, a lad like you in the 20s, I know you just turned 30 now, but would literally be smashing golf balls and you think, God, you're a good player. But then the a fault was this early extension. When you actually go back into time, they used to play as a kid, they had a big long absence off, and then they've come back into it with this
mistake horrible. That they had. I hate it. And it's weird because I was with my brother at the driving range and I was telling him what I was doing wrong, and like I knew I was doing it. He said something that was quite a good point, but he said, well, if you know what you're doing, why don't you stop doing it? It's like, isn't that easy, is it? When you've got a swing fault, I know what I'm doing, and I can explain to somebody what I'm doing wrong, but then trying to do it, it's so alien.
That swing that you posted was better.
Yeah.
I feel like your posture that you implemented on that was way better than what I
normally
see.
I know I thought that, but I don't know what I did differently.
You look like you're in really good balance, and also your upper body looks like it's lent over more, allowing you to stay more balanced. That is a really good fixer to get out that early extension. That's the swing that you've put on Instagram there, which you can check out at Guy Charnock.
Yeah, plug.
And I don't know if you shared that on the podcast group as well. Maybe put it in the story or something. That's one of the most controlled swings. But as you know, as soon as you start picking up speed, that early extension gets worse.
Yeah, so, I did. Yeah, I know. I thought my posture looked decent.
You've had some nice comments.
Yeah. I've said 707 views, so, you know, I'm flexing.
And you're wearing a hoodie.
You know what, though? I think somebody commented on that just like saying, oh, you're wearing a hoodie. Like, not even just saying it, but I always wear a hoodie for the range anyway. I actually wore a baseball cap, which didn't very much like me. But, yeah, that's the story of my swing.
I didn't notice that. And then the other picture you shared before that was ridiculous.
What was that one?
The irony that today's podcast I was talking about golf fashion.
But, right, if you zoom in on my clubs, that was my favourite set of clubs probably ever. So I had Titleist DCI irons.
Nice.
They were like an oversized head and they had the loft printed on them, which is what I always remember. I had a 9/8 TF Titleist 3-wood, an Odyssey 2-ball blade putter, driver I think was a Callaway ERC, and then wedges, it was all secondhand. And then wedges, I had a Vokey, and then that rusty one you can just see in the middle was the tailor-made rack.
Yeah, RAC, I can tell by just the little
It was a good set of clubs, that. The thing I don't know when I zoom in on that is why my putter wasn't in the very top divider. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that wasn't in there.
Pants way, way too long.
Pants
for you.
Are really baggy. Right.
Anyway.
We've had a really good question sent to us, and I've briefed you on this a little bit, but I've not massively. So it was from Pierce Murphy, and it says, plain and simple, Jack Nicklaus or Tiger Woods? For me, it's Tiger. Let's hear your thoughts. So what I'm going to do, and begrudgingly, I'm going to let you take Tiger, and I'm going to go with Jack.
No, because you're really good at this. You're really good at...
And I've also done some research as
exactly.
well.
You're really good at... arguments.
Well, she'll be on the same page then.
I wouldn't want to be married to you. Sorry to your fiance. Just don't think I would. I feel like I'd always be losing the arguments, and it's just like, I can't be bothered with it.
That is true. We don't argue very much because I always win. Okay, then. So, how basically, either of these guys is the greatest of all time, the GOAT. I think we can agree on that.
Yes.
Now, it all comes down to how we want to define the greatest of all time. If it's down to majors, which is what most people go off, there's only one winner.
Jack Nicklaus.
He's at 18 versus Tiger's 15. So, that's the argument over. However, I had a little bit...
next.
I had
topic.
A little bit of a look at some of the stuff. I found a really good website, actually. It had like an article, just pinched some of their stuff. PGA Tour-wise...
Well, has this been spoken about before?
No, I hope we've been innovative. PGA Tour-wise, Tiger has won 82 events so far.
Okay.
He's tied best ever with Sam Snead.
Yeah.
Versus Jack Nicklaus's lousy 73.
Okay.
So he's got nine more. The little stat that puts Tiger in the running for being the GOAT. He has had 142 straight made cuts.
That's outrageous.
Versus Jack's 105. Another stat, though, that really... I knew this one roughly. Well, I didn't know it. I knew vaguely this stat, but I actually pulled it up. So, I know it doesn't really matter, but second place in majors... Now, I know second place is first loser, but just to show how dominant, how up there he was, Tiger has came second six times in major championships, obviously with his 15 wins as well. Jack Nicklaus has had 19 second places, which is the most ever... By nine. His next best was Arnold Palmer with 10 second places.
So he's a bit of a bottler, really, isn't he?
But that's the thing. I know, it, again, second places don't mean much. But when you think of... I know, we obviously, that was well before we were born. But if you were watching the golf major, like four majors a year, you'll have seen him win 18, but be up there in second. I don't even know if he came third in top five, top tens. But 19 times he came second.
So 35 times he's come first or second.
Yes. Oh, no, 37.
Sorry, yeah, 37 times. I thought my maths was good.
So another thing that...
37 times he's come first or second.
So far, you've got Jack on the majors.
Yeah.
You've got Tiger on the PGA Tour. You've got Tiger on the cuts. Yeah. You've got Jack on the second places, which again, you may or may not want to use. Competitor-wise, if you're looking at Tiger in his heyday, he had your Phils, your Ernies, your VJs. Good, good, serious golfers. You're looking at Jack, he had Arnold Palmer, Gary Player, Tom Watson, Lee Trevino. Better competitors, aren't they, really? I think you've got to argue.
I don't know.
I think I'd put Palmer, Player and Watson above Phil, Ernie and VJ.
I definitely think in Tiger's early days, from maybe, obviously, 97 till maybe 2002, he did have free reign. There wasn't that many. A lot of the best players... were just coming to the close of their careers, like Nick Faldo, Greg Norman, you know, all those guys, even Nicklaus was still playing them, were just coming over the hill and into their kind of retirement. And none of the new blood, which weirdly he probably
your
created.
Rory, your DJs.
Yeah, which he probably created, Tiger, like your John Rahm, your Jason Day, your DJ, your Rory, like you mentioned, Brooks Koepka, everyone. I think now, though, right now, I think the level of player is better right now.
See, in some ways I wouldn't argue, but equally, if Tiger was his pomp now, would they just all be the second place men?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's hard to know, isn't it? So that's one we can't really answer. Then another little stat that hasn't really any relevance, but I also thought it was interesting. Jack won his last major, which was the Masters, at the age of 45. When Tiger won the Masters last year, he was 43.
Okay.
So that sounds ridiculous, but in theory, if we gave Tiger another 2 years to equal like kind of Jack's age, he's got to win three, four majors in that time. Maybe he can go on and win at an older age, as Tom Watson almost proved in 09. Potentially age isn't just a number. With the game now becoming so much more about distance probably than ever has been.
Yeah.
And Tiger's injuries of the past, and he's kind of still swings it very, very powerfully. But I don't know. The other thing massively in Tiger's favour as well is he obviously held a Tiger Slam. So he held all four majors at one time, not in the same calendar year, but in 2000 to 2001, he held the US Open, the Open, the PGA, and the Masters.
So good.
That's all I've got. So it's...
I don't think this is a measurable stat, because I don't think it was being recorded then. World rankings?
I don't believe the world ranking was out back then. I think it's a newer thing.
Because weirdly, I saw a stat just recently about Dustin Johnson being 100 weeks at world number one, and he's only the first of four people to be number one for 100 weeks. Can you name the other three?
Yeah. Tiger.
Yeah.
Rory.
Yeah.
And there's one more.
Yeah. This one was a curveball.
Luke Donald. No. One more guess.
Older. Much older.
No, I wasn't Phil.
I mentioned him just a minute ago.
No, not Phil. Was it? I don't know.
Greg Norman.
Oh, he was the first one. I think he was the first one.
That must be when it really kicked in, the world rankings. World rankings did.
Yeah, it was 86, I think.
So that would have been quite nice to have seen if they'd have been doing world rankings when Jack Nicklaus was around.
But with 15 majors and 19 seconds, he'd have been top all the time,
yeah,
wouldn't he?
That would have been something that could have been a tangible measurement, I feel. Like, Jack, in his heyday, playing against all those greats that you mentioned before, he might have spent 7 years as world number one, mm-hmm. where Tiger was X amount of years as world number one. Whatever. Do you know what? I feel like that could have been a definitive potential, that person's the GOAT versus that person, but as you mentioned before, end of conversation, because it really all comes down to majors.
So after all that, who are you saying?
Well, I still have to say Tiger, even though I know factually it'll always have an asterisk next to it because he hasn't won as many majors as Jack Nicklaus currently.
Just win four more. Argument over then. Or even three more, we can call it a draw, you've won on other things. Yeah, I'm interested to hear what people think about this. So email us, podcast@rickshields.com, or maybe comment on our Instagram, we might have a little poll on something.
Yeah, let's put a little poll on.
Maybe a story poll.
I might do it now.
Yeah, okay.
For a live poll, and we'll get the answer by the end of the podcast.
So we'll hear, by the end of this podcast, what people... I think Tiger will win on... I just think, though, it's very much down to what generation you were in as well. For me, Tiger's massively changed the game, as he has for most people. He's made it cool. Even the fact he looked different, he was different in terms of his physique, how he played the game, how he hit the ball so hard and so far.
Ethnicity as well. Like, yeah. All of that was so different.
With an African-American father and a Thai mother to then come onto the European Tour and dominate, which was so different and just so like refreshing, if you like. I just think that, for me, I would say Tiger. But like you said, it always comes down to who's won more majors. Majors are what the golfers kind of really seek, obviously, but that was quite long. That was quite serious and quite golfy again. We're getting the hang of this.
We might be able to classify ourselves as a golf podcast soon.
Right, so moving swiftly on, and a nice little contrast into listener of the week.
Okay.
You said, I had a really good idea of last week that we wanted people to go and rate the Open podcast on Apple Podcast and to say that we sent them. We have had, or they have had, a ludicrous amount of people, like ridiculous amount of people.
Thanks,
so
everyone.
It was very, very hard to pick somebody. And I'll be honest with you now, the downside to when you rate an Apple podcast, a lot of people put like random nicknames, so remember like ABC 123456. So you can't really call that person listener of the week. I didn't know what the name was. So I tried to find one that had obviously a name. So I found Tony Wilson, 25. So I'm presuming his name is Tony Wilson. Tony Wilson 25, you are listener of the week officially, brought to you by Rick Shields. What do you want to say, Rick?
Congratulations, Tony.
Perfect. That was short and snappy. His rating, he put, I listen to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, and if he says it's worth a listen, then who am I to argue? And once again, bang on from Rick and Guy for recommending a great podcast, listening to a few already, and they are amazingly brilliant. If only there's more people like Tony Wilson. Do you know what I mean? He does what he said in the tin, Tony Wilson, doesn't he?
If there's only more episodes of the Open podcast.
Well, I've got some good news for you, Rick. What day is it today? Today. It's Tuesday. Sorry, we're calling this on a Monday. I'm trying to be clever. Today's Tuesday. Rick would have been so confused then.
You made me out. You looked at me like, what day is it? I'm like, I was going to say Monday. He's like, Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
So today, depending on when people listen to this, but you listen to this. If you're a hardcore fan who listens on the day it comes out, like our best friends do, you know, if you listen to the podcast on a Tuesday, you're one of Rick's best friends, aren't you?
Basically.
And when he has
family.
And when he has a boozy party in the garage, you're invited. And all you have to do is just come in and go, look, I listen on a Tuesday. Show evidence that you've listened on a Tuesday.
Please, if you know where I live, though, do not turn up to the garage with the podcast.
Let's
make this very clear.
Go on.
This is a paid-for, sponsored piece of advertisement. But right now, honestly, hand on heart, I think it's one of the best things that anybody could ever advertise because it's so bloody good.
It is. Yeah.
But as Guy was just about to say, it's Tuesday, so you're getting the Rick Shields podcast and you're getting the new episode of the Open podcast.
For me, though, it's essential. Don't forget the simple rules. Listen to ours first and then listen to the Open podcast.
Do not break the rules.
And subscribe to both. Quick thing, I don't want to like plead for subscribers, but just a quick one. I listened to a podcast the other day that I won't name, but it was really good. Listened to a few of them. It was in my feed,
yeah.
But I wasn't subscribed. Because no, Apple knows listen to it, just puts it there anyway. But you have to make sure you click subscribe to get us some brown, like little points to get us up the charts. Yeah. So anyway, the Open Podcasts is out every Tuesday. It's available on your Apples, your Spotifys, your Googles, also the Open website as well. Wherever you want to listen to podcasts, the Open Podcasts will be there. We've also had a couple of people on the Facebook group comment that they couldn't find it. Now, I think weirdly, if you just put in the Open Podcast, it doesn't find it that well. If you put in the Open Podcasts with an S on the end, it'll find it straight away. So then you go and listen and like and subscribe and all that good stuff. This last week's episode, I think, even topped the first week's.
Yeah, so the first week was all about Tom Watson at Muirfield. Muirfield as well. And this one was Muirfield.
This one was Muirfield. I can't remember what Tom Watson...
Turnberry.
Turnberry.
Sorry,
Tom Watson,
Turnberry. Right. This latest episode with Gary Evans, and it might be a name you've never, ever heard of. And it's honestly, it's a name I've kind of semi-heard of, but didn't really know the story. Mm-hmm. Basically, he was moments away from walking away with the 2002 Open Championship at Muirfield.
Yes.
It was epic. The story he tells in this mini documentary, in the short documentary, is absolutely phenomenal. I couldn't believe what happened. It got to the point where I listened to it. I don't want to give too much away. You've really got to listen to it. But I listened to it that much. I wanted to go straight onto YouTube and watch the actual video clip of what happened because I couldn't believe on the 17th hole, the final round, so his 71st hole, he hits the ball left. He loses it. He goes back to where he hit it from. Still manages to get up and down on the par 5.
That was outrageous. Let's talk about that hole, actually, because some people might have listened to it already.
Okay.
That hole was outrageous. So it's a par 5.
Yeah.
If he makes 4, which is a birdie, 4 on the next hole, he would have won the Open.
Yeah.
Now, if he didn't know that at the time, he was about 15 holes ahead of the current leaders. But if he did birdie, which is an easy-ish hole, and then par on the last, he's won. What does he do on the 17th, Rick?
Kills a drive.
Yes.
Kills a drive. He puts a new driver in play that week and hits an amazing drive. He's 240 yards out to the...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Green, he pulls his forward. He's trying to play this little cut into the middle of the green, not really much, you know, going on. And up until that point, he's miles ahead on holes compared to the final victor, which was Ernie Els. He's on like the 17th, and Ernie Els is like on the second or third hole. So he's so far ahead.
What vegetable would you say was just cool as at that moment in time?
I think it says it in the actual commentary. As cool as a cucumber. One of the things that he does, he doesn't allow himself to think that he's going to win the Open until he's walking down the 17th hole. And he imagined for a split second he was going to win the Open.
That's the first rule of things to don't do when you're playing in the Open.
He pulls this forward miles left into thick rough.
And this is my favourite bit. He then explains how there was fans, patrons, whatever you want to call them, helping him look for his ball. You know, when I was running, actually, listening to this, I was doing a 5K, no big deal. Don't want to brag about that. Forget that. I was running, and I was listening to this. And in my head, you know, you picture things, naturally. I was thinking six or seven people looking. I then did what you did, watched a video on YouTube, hundreds of people helping him look.
Yeah.
Callaway ball, no, not that one. Titleist one, no, it's not that one. He was playing Titleist two, I believe, wasn't he?
Titleist two.
Eventually, about 4 minutes and 30 seconds into his looking for his ball, they find Titleist two. There's a big cheer. It's like so cringy. There's a big cheer. Everyone's going, yeah, fire, yay. He picks it, he puts it, looks, turns it round. Didn't have his marking on it. Wasn't his ball. So then he had to go back to the fairway.
Yeah.
To play the shot again.
Yeah.
What happens then?
Well, I think, to find out what happens then,
okay,
you've got to listen to the Open podcast. But it was absolutely phenomenal. Well, in this week's episode that's coming out today, the same day as the Rich Hills podcast, it's the story of Michael Campbell, who was the nearly man. Listen to this short clip as a little teaser.
And I remember jumping into the van, grabbing my clubs, and I said to the driver, I don't care what you do, you know, I could be the first person in history to actually miss my tee time leading the Open. I said, just drive on the curb, just drive on the wrong side of the road. I've got to get there. But as you know, it's another 5 minutes to the driving range, and the traffic there is horrendous. So I get to the driving range, I had probably about five balls, and I'm rushing back. So I'm getting the first tee, I'm leading the Open, and I'm obviously full of anxiety already, straight to the first tee.
On the tee, Michael Campbell.
So there you go, there's a little teaser. I'm excited to listen to that. I mean, to me, it sounds like I didn't come up with the first ever idea of hungover golf.
No.
It sounds like Michael Campbell might have been doing this in the year 2009, right?
You know what, though? I was thinking the other day, the only downside to these podcasts, it's only a small, well, it's a big one, actually. It's making me miss the Open. Because I've been fortunate to go, probably, out of the last 10 years, probably seven of them. And I absolutely love going to the Open and hearing all these stories about it, and even the crowds and the announcer and everything. It's really making me miss it. And I just hope, fingers crossed, that in 2021 it's all back to normal and the Open is obviously held with, obviously, a live kind of crowd and audience and fans.
I thought you were going to say two things.
Go on.
It's making you miss the Open, and two, it's making you realise how ill-prepared and terrible our podcast is.
Our podcast is ill-prepared. And it's not terrible, but it's poor. What we'll do as well, I say, for one more week, Rick, let's have a listener of the week who leads a review on the podcast as well.
Okay.
So, ideally, head over to the Open Podcast on Apple, rate it 5 stars, and leave a review and say that the Rick Shields Golf Show sent you, or something along those lines, and we'll pick a winner for next week. A winner. Is it right to say a winner of listener of the week?
You're not really
a winner. You win it, yeah?
I think so. It's quite an honour.
Yeah, I suppose.
We've only only 44. That's if we've probably not even done it every single episode.
Can you remember the name of the winner for this week?
Wait. I've got it. Tony.
Tony. Tony Wilson.
Tony Stevens.
There's only one. Tony Wilson.
I was gonna say Tony Stevens for some reason.
So that was that.
Can we stop talking about the Open podcast now?
Yeah.
It's too much, isn't it?
It is good though, getting paid. I absolutely, this weekend, honestly, I lived the high life. Had a fillet steak.
You sound like you were from South Africa.
I lived the high life. Because I was drinking so much South African wine. How much does that cost? £20? I'll pay 30. Take my money. Do me head in my pocket. Pockets are so fat. Even when I went to driving yesterday, I paid for 100 balls for my brother, £6. I'll pay.
You paid?
Yeah, I'll pay. No danger. I'll pay for that. I didn't even hit them all. I hit about 30 balls and give the rest to my mate.
I thought you had connections.
Well, I have, but They always ask about you and ask about me. How's Rick getting on? Yeah, he's fine, thanks. How am I though?
Is Rick coming down?
Yeah.
Does Rick want some free balls? You know, she said, Rick's coming down. Can I get some free balls, please?
Speaking of Rick, do you want to do a deer, Rick?
Let's go for it. What a great plug.
I can't remember if this was a good one or not, because the problem this week I had, there were so many emails asking for the free balls. I really struggled to find good content.
Okay.
And I know this guy wants to be anonymous. So, dear Rick and Guy, which is a nice touch, Adam, you don't have to. Anonymous, please. So please don't let me say his name. If I do, we'll have to stop the podcast, take it out. I have an issue, and as I'm saying this now, by the way, I can't remember what this is at all. So I'm going to read it. I can't remember for the life of me what this was. I have an issue that I experienced as a beginner golfer, and your advice could help. I am a beginner golfer, and I've been playing the game seriously since May. I grew up watching golf and caddying for my dad, who was a 13 handicapper. So I like to think I understand the game and have to get a bit more than other beginners, which makes sense. The issue I have is that when I play on the course, I feel like I'm playing slowly and holding people up. I suffer from a push slice to the right, which leads to a lot of looking for balls and have to play some difficult recovery shots. I try to avoid spending too long looking for the lost balls, but you can see how this problem can be compound and slow the round down. I end up rushing my shots, trying to speed things up, and then therefore playing a worse shot as a result of trying to play faster. This is making the game less enjoyable and more frustrating. I have already experienced a group hitting into us off the tee, which ended in some choice words being exchanged. I'm consistently shooting 100 to 110, but I have shot in the 90s a couple of times when I'm able to take my time. I've had a few lessons, and I know I can hit straight shots at the range. I feel like being on the course and the added pressure of a group behind me and watching me causes me to be poor, which leads to the slow play. Am I entitled to take my time, brackets, within reason, or do I need to learn to hit more consistent shots before playing on a course? I wonder if this problem is common with beginners. Any advice would be much appreciated. P.S. I am based in the UK and I'm playing on an open public pay-and-play course, not on a members course. Most of the other players are also members and not guests. I think that was a really good question.
Really good question. And it's one of those ones. I always have to remind myself of what it was like learning how to drive a car every time I'm stuck behind a learned driver.
Nice, yeah.
So every time you're on the road and you're stuck behind one of those cars with the L on the top or whatever, you really have to remind yourself and go, I was that person one time. Now, for me and for you and probably for most people listening, in golf, sometimes we don't remember being that learner because we did it as a kid.
Yes.
Like I did it when I was 11. You'd have done it about the same time.
Yeah.
I don't remember learning. I remember being out on the golf course with my family. My mum got me into it and a few friends at the time. And I remember playing fast was definitely put as a very high priority.
Mm-hmm.
Like to the point where sometimes you'd almost have to pick up your ball. And I found it a bit, I don't want to pick up my ball. But it was because there was a group coming behind, etc. So I think at first, I get it. Like if you're going out on the golf course, and the other side for Mr. Anonymous, I also can imagine what it's like to have that pressure of someone behind you. Again, going back to that learner driver, I remember being the learner driver, driving the car at 17, 18, and a car right up my ass, like flashing the lights and not giving me any time. It's like, just chill out. Like, I can't go any faster because of the speed limit. Two, I'm learning. I'm going to stall the car at traffic lights. I'm going to get things wrong. Just be patient with me. In golf, though, we don't get that learner badge, and there's no big L stuck above your head when you're out on the golf course for the first time playing.
In Europe, they have some things that they have to like pass. I can't remember what it's called.
In Germany, they have like a license.
Yeah, that's the one.
And you have to go to a golf professional. You have to say, you know, I'm looking to learn golf. They will put a program together for you, and at the end of that program, you have to pass a competency test. Is that the right word? Compliance test out on the golf course, so that you are able to then go out on the golf course and play in public golf courses, members golf courses, etc.
Yeah, pros and cons to that, I guess.
I think my best advice for Mr. Anonymous would be two things. He's experienced playing good golf when it's quiet.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Like if you can get out when it's quiet, do so. Like I know it's not always ideal, it's not always perfect, but if you can get out the last group of the day, if you can get out on the back nine when it's quiet, whatever it may be, then you can build confidence and get good at being fast at certain times. The other thing, and this is where you experienced it recently when you went and played at Marriott with a few friends of yours, and I've experienced that on the golf course. I don't mind if someone's slow because they're playing bad golf. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that.
No.
Like, that doesn't
Everyone
offend
starts
me.
Somewhere.
That doesn't offend me. What absolutely grinds my gears is when somebody's slow for really insignificant reasons.
Yes.
They put the trolley on the wrong side of the green.
I hate that.
They're marking the scorecard on the actual putting green. They leave the flag on the wrong side of where they're walking to. They don't play ready golf. So as soon as you're ready to hit, you should hit. They're waiting for par fives to clear. It's like 290 yards away. Those things annoy me more.
Yeah, I think some of those, that maybe not the par five one, but some of those do go hand in hand with being a new golfer as well, though, because things like that, to me and you, are just obvious. You put your bag on the side that you exit the hole. Some higher handicappers or new golfers don't even think that, but I know what you mean. It's not the same. That's more annoying than someone's topping it or losing the ball.
But your man said he used to caddy when he was a kid.
So he knows that, doesn't he? True,
so, like,
good
he
point.
Does know those kind of golf hand, like, golf etiquette handicaps. I think there's a few handicaps you could have in golf. You could have the mental handicap, which I know we've touched on before. You can have the actual playing ability handicap, and then you can actually have an etiquette handicap as well. And all of them need to improve for you to be a comfortable golfer, really.
I agree. I'll tell you what, one thing that I noticed, I'm not saying they shouldn't do this, but a lot of new golfers know what the best score is, don't they? So they might say, oh, I'm new to golf, the best is 125, for example. Or that guy was 110. But the fact they're keeping score of every shot like that is probably why as well it's taking them so long.
Definitely.
I know that's part of golf, is having a gross score. So I'm not saying they shouldn't do that because it's part of what's fun. It's also like having a PB that you can go and beat. But if he maybe played Stableford and had to give himself two shots a hole, if he does go out of bounds twice, just forget that hole and carry on, that would help him speed up a little bit. But equally, if he's paid his money to go and play a golf course, he should be able to play properly and keep his score if he wants to. So it is a hard one. I think sometimes as well, it's like you said, then he's had people hit balls at him and kick off. So, but a lot of the time, people aren't that bothered. As long as you're not ridiculously slow and you're not actually holding up people on every single hole, most people aren't that. The only thing I hate, and we see it sometimes when we're filming, we always let people through, is the old hand on the hip brigade. I hate that. Just looks it to say, like, come on, hurry up, get out of the way.
And it happens so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't bother me if someone, like, sometimes we're out on the golf course, you might see from the videos, it is often quite quiet because we go out at the right times because we are very conscious about, you know, holding people up. But there are times, sometimes we'll be on a hole and there'll be a group that comes up on the tee and they might have just literally got on the tee, like literally, hand on the hip, and you're thinking, right, come on, give us a minute to move out the way, will you? You can't just literally expect to tee up and hit straight away. I think the other thing as well, if Mr. Anonymous, you know, does let groups through and just kind of says to him, really sorry, guys, I'm kind of quite new to the game. I'm still learning the ropes, you know. And I'm sure there can be a night. It doesn't have to be confrontational. It can be, oh, I'm really sorry, you know. I think as long as you let people through, you're conscious about what's happening around you, go out at the right time. And just like say, make sure you absolutely nail the other things that could make you a slow player. If you get that right, I don't think you'll have any issues.
I like how you go quite like serious, considered and caring when you're doing Dear Rick. You change, one minute you're a lager, like, go on, get pissed. Next thing it's like really sincere.
Because I think it means a lot.
Somebody
is emailing in with an issue, I do want to take it serious.
And I like that.
And I don't have to remember anyone's name.
Yes.
Because it's all anonymous.
One thing we're lacking, actually, which you could do with, if you're listening still to this point, it's 45 minutes in.
Don't be giving anything away.
We've not had, we've not had many good nightmare golf shots or nightmare golf stories, whatever you want to call it. So if you've got anything, what's happened on the golf course, it's been a nightmare, it's been really funny, and you want to share it with us, either anonymously or not, email us, podcast@rickshields.com, and we'll feature some. I had an email for a friend.
Just super quickly, the poll.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm going to mention the final numbers at the end, but we've had...
Oh, my word.
We've had over 700 people vote, and it's a bit of a landslide. So wait till the end of the podcast. And also, we might call out a few people who've mentioned one name and find out why.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, I've got a friend called The Mouse, right?
Sorry.
I've got a friend called The Mouse. And
why is he called The Mouse?
Well, he's a friend from university, and one of my other friends, John, coined him as The Mouse. Literally, when did I finish? I finished 8 9 years ago, and it's just stuck.
The mouse.
He's quite pesky and got quite a lot of schemes up his sleeve, so it kind of suits him quite well.
Does he like cheese?
Yes, I think he does like cheese. He also likes golf as well, actually.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
And he texted me about something, actually, the day, which was quite a good point. Do you remember on the last episode, I didn't actually know he listened. I knew he watched your videos, didn't know he listened. But if you remember, on the last episode, I said that people should write the name of the golf ball and put it in the hole, saying listen to the Rick Shields golf show or something like that. And
yeah.
Of course. Well, he made a good point that that's not very COVID safe, is it? I didn't even think of that.
For God's sake.
So that's what the mouse is like. Yeah, PC Brigade.
Don't like
but, can you just say I don't like the mouse? Can soundbite that, please? He did actually then send an email as well, and he put pick me. So firstly, the mouse, I'm not going to pick you for some free golf balls. I might give you some next time I see you as a treat. But he actually had quite a good idea for a giveaway, which again, you're not going to win the mouse, so if that's what you're itching at. But let me run this by you.
I feel like we need him as a guest.
The mouse, he'd love that. So he said, hi, Guy and Rick, listened all the way through. Did get a bit flat towards the end, but I have an idea. That's what you get again with the mouse. He's very down to earth. But he said, for a Christmas podcast, right, brackets dart season, which is true, why don't you pick 20 people from the comments of maybe off the Facebook group or Instagram page or something, or just emails, and put the name against a number on the dartboard, right? So we've got 20 names, 1 to 20 on the dartboard. We then have 3 darts each to throw at the board, and whoever those land on gets a prize. So I don't know how we can make that bigger, like how we could get the names in the first place, but I think there's something in that. So
we've got a dartboard still.
We've got a dartboard. We've got darts. We've got 2 very skilled darts players. So maybe we'll have a think about that. Maybe towards the end of the year, like I said, to Christmas, we'll run some kind of competition where people enter and we'll pick 20 people. They all get a space on the board and we throw 3 darts each.
Nice.
And they win a good prize.
I like that.
But the mouse can't enter. I've got some Facebook questions for you as well this week. We always have a safety net of Facebook questions because we never know how the podcast is going to go. How do you think it's gone today? Medium.
Yeah, I don't know if the toll of the late night watching the PGA Tour and, you know, getting all this golf knowledge that I get and, you know, making sure this place is nice and presentable. I've just maybe not felt my best today.
How would you rate me today?
You've done well.
Carried the show.
You have really.
While I'm looking for some questions, did you have anything else to fill a minute or so?
Yeah, I did find, that's what I'm looking for in the email right now, somebody talking about golf balls actually had some golf balls designed with the Rick Shields Golf podcast logo.
That's quite cool.
I don't know what he was getting at because I never responded to his email, but let me...
Standard.
Let me find it again. I'll tell you what we have had, and I've just shown you.
Can we speak about them, actually? I think we should.
I'd be impressed if anyone else got them. So basically, on Twitter and Facebook recently, I wanted to get hold of some of the original Pro V1s dating back to 2000, the year 2000, which seems a long time ago now. And I didn't think I'd be able to get some that are the absolute original. Literally says on the side, Pro V1 392.
Love it.
No arrows, no logo. Like, that is
no it. Nonsense.
No nonsense. Well, the good news is I've got 9 brand spankers sent over from Eric in, where's he from? I think he's from Holland. So they are going to be tested because there's a new Pro V1 golf ball coming out. Whether we do it against that, I don't know. We've not quite decided. I might just keep them as collectors.
Keep 6.
He didn't even charge him for me. I wanted to buy him off him. He didn't charge me a penny.
He should be listener of the world.
He should be. He can go on our dartboard.
Yeah, he can. Yeah. Number 20 at the top.
So, hopefully that's going to be a really cool video. What's the other thing I wanted to tell you about? I've seen some emails flying about in the inbox today about you arranging some new clubs to be delivered. We can't talk about any of those yet, can we?
We can. It rhymes with...
Ding.
Ding. We can, actually. So... I'm sure most of you who are hardcore golf nerds like me have seen the Ping G425 metals and stuff online. Ping have essentially decided to stagger the release of these products. So they're available now in like Australia and Asia, but they're only going to be launching in the US and the UK in February. And we can't review them until January, which is a bit of a shame. But it's all because of COVID, essentially. So what Ping have said is, which I quite respect, they're not going to have the stock. So if they release them now in the UK and the US and people get fitted for the new irons and drivers, they just can't actually get the product in your hands until February. So fair play. However, I have ordered Rick's specs up today. I ordered all the drivers. obviously irons, three-wood and a hybrid, which I'm not sure you might use, but we might not do a video on them, but also I thought I might have a go on them as well. So that was partly why. But yeah, that's exciting. They will be coming soon, but we just can't release the video.
The new drivers look really good.
There's three. There's an SF Tech, there's an LS Tech, and there's a Max as well, which is kind of the bigger one.
Yeah, I really like the look of those.
Question-wise then, on Facebook, this is a good question. It's not good, but it's funny. Adam Stratton said, opinion on cell phone usage on the course. Now, we don't really have a leg to stand on with regards to using a phone on the golf course, because a lot of our videos, your videos, are filmed with a phone, aren't they?
Yeah. Weirdly, we've actually had complaints sometimes where we've been on a golf course, certainly not the Marriott, but other golf courses, where members have complained post us coming in saying they were on the mobile phones. We weren't actually on our mobile phones, but we were not on phone calls, but we were making videos with mobile phones. I think as long as you're respectful, I think messaging, checking social media, that is absolutely fine. If you're on a phone call and you're out on your own, that's fine. I just think you shouldn't have your phone on loud. You shouldn't be taking phone calls or speaking when other people are hitting. If you are going to need to get a phone call, go somewhere quiet. But it doesn't offend me one bit.
No, standard. This is a really good question, actually. And at first, I thought I had an answer, and then I thought, oh, actually, no, I've not. Ollie Smith said, iron head covers equal embarrassing. Does the same apply to a scorecard holder that I've just ordered? Now, my first reaction was the plastic nasty ones you get in a pro shop with a pencil in for $3.99. However, you can get some really good scorecards. I've got one, and you can get some sick leather ones.
And a lot of the tour players have them, they look sick.
Yeah.
They all have the course planner in it, and the green books and everything. It looks
a little bit worn, a little bit like leather's gone a bit.
Like Westwood had like a Notts Forest one, and Matt Wallace has like a Man United one, and Bryson DeChambeau has one that says bad because that's his initials. I think they look really cool.
I do, and I know it sounds weird, but there's nothing worse. I've not played a comp for ages, but playing in a comp and your scorecard getting destroyed, well, your opponent's scorecard or playmat getting destroyed in your pocket. So I'm not against them whatsoever.
The other thing as well, just a very quick one on the mobile phones, I would honestly say when I'm playing golf is the time I spend least on my phone.
Yeah.
Which is
it's
good
nice,
thing.
Isn't
for
it?
Me,
putting it away.
Nice putting it in the bag. I mean, the only problem for me, as soon as I get off the golf course, I'm like zombied for like 10 minutes.
You love that though, don't you? Saying the other day, that's your fix.
I can catch it up on the world, but bar that. Anyway, yeah, I think scorecard holders, as long as they, like I say, a bit personalised, bit of a, you know, a nice design, nice touch, leather, one that you use all the time. Yeah, I like that. I'm a big fan.
Something you touched on before, but before I got onto this, did you see the other day that I accepted a post of a bloke with his young lad swing asking for tips?
Yeah.
And I commented and blocked every comment. I then turned comments off. Somebody asked, this is my son's swing. Anyone want to give any tips? Now, I think in hindsight, it was a bit of a gloat because he had a nice little swing. They had really good hit rotation. So I don't blame him when I show off his child's swing. But the last thing we want in the Facebook group is people commenting on other people's swings, giving them advice when, let's be frank, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm the same. I couldn't give swing advice, really. That led me onto this. It's from Aaron, again on the Facebook. He said, getting my kids into golf, age 7 and 6, should I let them hit it and enjoy it, or should I be teaching them techniques?
Let them hit it and enjoy it. How old are they? Sorry.
7 and 6.
Yeah, certainly at that age, just let them enjoy it. I think a few little tidbits, yes, like potentially where they put their feet, roughly how they hold the golf club. Apart from that, let them have pure fun.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. If they're holding it like cack-handed and it was affecting them, maybe tell them to hold it the right way.
But even then, it's not doesn't matter.
No. That's good. This is the point where sometimes what I do is I'll screenshot good questions ready, and other times I just freestyle it.
Right, let's go back to this topic then.
Go on.
Goat.
Oh, yeah.
So I've put on the poll, and it's not been on long.
What's your thoughts on the term goat, by the way? I do use it now, but I don't massively like it.
I don't know. I think the thing is now, it's become a thing that you know what it means.
Yeah, like YOLO.
Yeah. Like I used to not understand what goat meant.
Did you not?
No. Like when it first came out and I was confused, I was like, what does this mean?
You know what you need to do? Just go on Google it. Urban Dictionary.
Why is everyone calling them the goat? Anyway, I put a poll on 29 minutes ago now. It's had over 1,000 votes.
That's quite quick. On
the Rich Hills Golf Show podcast Instagram page.
Yeah. At the Rich Hills Golf Show. Follow it.
You ready for this?
Go on.
Oh, you already know, but people listening. 29 minutes it's been on for. 1,000 and 1,018 votes.
1,018, okay.
913, which is 90%, has voted for Tiger Woods.
Eldrick Woods wins again.
10% is Jack Nicklaus. Is it just that Jack Nicklaus fans aren't on Instagram?
Possibly.
What would be interesting for me, there's quite a lot, obviously there's 100-odd people that have picked Jack. Like, I'd love to just face that, like, Harry.
So why?
Our Harry.
Our Harry. Has he put Jack?
Yeah. Like, our editor and videographer, Harry, has put Jack.
If you're going off stats, you can't argue, can you?
Shall I ring him?
Yeah, go on. So
this is a podcast exclusive. I'm ringing Harry, our
please
editor.
Please, where.
Hello.
Hi, Harry.
Hi.
You're live on the podcast.
Oh, that's scary.
This is where he's done it wrong or something. We're just flicking through the poll that we've put on.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger and Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And notice your name. You voted Jack.
Do you not agree?
Listen, it's not from my choice. If you listen to the podcast, you'd know what we're talking about. But you can't listen to it because we're recording it right now.
How many tournaments has Jack won?
We had this start 72, I think it was.
How many has Tiger won?
83.
How many majors has Jack won?
He's on
18.
It now.
How many has Tiger won?
15.
There you go.
Okay. So that's what it's going off. Do you know the...
Fantastic, doesn't it?
Over a thousand people have voted, and only 100 have voted for Jack. You're in the 10%.
Was it the greatest of all time or the best of all time?
What's the difference?
There's a big difference.
Elaborate, please.
I think to be the greatest of all time, you can work off statistics. I think to be like the best of all time, you don't necessarily have to work off statistics. So I think for the greatest of all time, Jack.
Very good.
Tiger might have had a better season, might have had a better year than Jack. Whereas his ability was better than Jack's ability ever was.
I love how you're taking this really seriously. Either way, that new video you've just edited is sick.
Yeah, well done.
Great.
People are going to enjoy that. So if you're watching the 2-iron video that's going to come out this week, Harry's edited that and it's class. Anyway, Harry, crack on. We'll catch you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
You can tell Rick doesn't employ onions, can't you? He's a good lad. He switched on, isn't he? Yeah, he's gone for the stats route. I've got a question here that's for me, but I want to see your reaction, but don't say it on the podcast. So you have to, like, this is quite fun. You'll see why.
Okay.
Someone said, question for Guy. If you got approached to play a full set for a manufacturer, who would you choose? Now, obviously, again, like Rick, I want to remain impartial. But, what's that? A bit of, yeah. But, genuinely now, I have a mixed bag as it stands. I've got Cobra Metals, I've got Titleist Irons, Nike Wedges, TaylorMade Putnams, you know, 2-iron, Nike 3-wood, etc. I honestly think the best brand, if I had to choose everything, would come down to Titleist or TaylorMade. And I think... I'd possibly go TaylorMade through the bag. Now, don't comment, but just give me a head movement. What do you think to that statement?
I can say. Okay, that's good.
All right, okay, is that what you...
I don't know if that's what I'd definitely
is go
for.
Is that all Titleist? The only thing I'm... Well, I probably have said that. No, I wouldn't. I'd go Titleist. I don't know why I just said that. Ball, Titleist.
I think we've had a conversation like this before on the podcast. I think there's a couple of things. I think if you went tight, let's say, and I think this is the only kicker, you had to have that set for the next 10 years.
Yeah, Titleist dates better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But if we do it like top trumps, ball is nothing in it. But I'm just going to go Pro V1, it's what I know. Wedges, I actually love the TaylorMade wedges. The only thing I don't like with your wedges is I do think it looks a bit gimmicky now, that face, how it rusts and the rest doesn't. But that's not a big deal. I'd go probably Vokies. Irons, I like my irons, but I could easily put your irons in the bag. Your irons are class.
Yeah.
The 2-iron things they've got, both the same. Metals, I'm probably going to go TaylorMade. Putters, I feel like I should say Scotty, but I've got a Spide now and love it.
Yeah.
So it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mixed bag is the way to go.
Well, you look at it now on tour, so many have got mixed bags. Yeah, I don't think there's any other brands bar those two that you could go full bag. Ping don't do a ball, so you can't do Ping. Callaway do a ball.
I wouldn't go Callaway.
I just couldn't use Callaway ball, no. If I'm honest.
The rest of them does really good.
Drivers are always good performing, I'm just not the best, like, not as sexual.
You could go Mizuno, but you just wouldn't, would you? But there's no harm in it. The balls actually are decent.
I wasn't a massive fan of the putters. But I'm sure they'll get better. And that's just my own personal opinion, but...
Could go Wilson. Could go Frickson.
Got some interesting Wilson balls coming soon.
We have.
Shrickson. Shrickson. I don't think I'd be able to use a Shrickson driver, though.
No.
Anyway, we did digress. Guys, thanks for listening to the Rich Hills podcast. Make sure you straight away, don't put your phone down. Whatever you're going to do now for the next 50 minutes, cancel it. You can jump over to the Open podcast and listen to the new Michael Campbell episode that's just come out, and make sure you rate it, leave a review, and as always, make sure you rate and leave a review on our podcast too. Guy, thanks so much for all your hard work behind the scenes.
Oh, thanks. That's nice. Where's that come from?
Just true. Thanks. I literally turn up and pick up the microphone and go, what we're doing today? And you go, this is what we're doing. So it's very, very much appreciated.
Oh, that's nice.
Guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned. Lots more to come. And that is us out.
Shout out to the mouse.
I'm going to edit that out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.